Good morning. Hey, did you hear that last song? It says, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. That's why we're here this morning. We're not here for us. We're here for him. Amen? All right. I'm glad that you are here. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for joining with us. And I pray that our service will be a blessing to you. As a guest, when you came in, if you received a welcome packet, inside that welcome packet is just a little card. If you take a moment and fill that out, drop it in the offering plate or leave it on the information table on your way out this morning. That would be such a help to us. And hopefully you also received a bulletin, and the rest of you received a bulletin. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. There are no activities this week, but right after our morning worship service, we will go right into our church family dinner. After we set up some tables and moved some of the chairs around to be able to accommodate that. And if you are a guest, we want to invite you to stay and join us for a church family dinner. That way you can get to know us and we can get to know you a little bit better. So thank you so much for that. And I hope that you have it on your calendar to be able to join us. So the 50th anniversary celebration team, it's getting closer. It's about a month away, and so we're looking forward to that. There's details about that in the bulletin, but they are still looking for photos of church activities, and there's a list of things there. If you have some photos from the past, if you have some present, some photos from the present, you probably don't have any photos for the future, unless if you do, you need to talk to me, and we need to sit down, and I need to figure out how you got those, but anyway, if you have pictures, please give them to our planning team, and the details are there for you to be able to do that. Also, we are now making plans for our Awana ministry this fall. We do need some additional help. So if you are free on Thursday evenings, you want to be a part of our Awana ministry, please see Andrea or Becky. And so Andrea and Becky, Andrea might be in the nursery. Yep, she's in the nursery. Becky, raise your hand so that people know where you are, okay? And maybe if you are thinking about it, pray about it, and you still might have a couple weeks to be able to do that. Talking about the church anniversary, you only have two more weeks to be able to make sure you sign up for the activities. You have this Sunday, and you have next Sunday. After next Sunday, you will not be able to sign up any longer without paying a penalty. No, I'm just kidding. There won't be any penalty. And so, but we want you to make sure that if you haven't signed up yet, that you do, because we need to finalize our counts for food and also for seating. So you'll notice in the bulletin in our prayer corner that I just want to draw a couple things to your attention. Fall ministries, as I've already mentioned, are preparing to begin. So pray for those things that as we get those things started, that they will be effective and they will meet the needs of people in our church family. We also have college students that are heading off to school. And I think Becky and I counted, we have 7 college students heading off to school. And so we are blessed to be able to have that many, but we need to be praying for them, and we definitely need to be praying for their parents, because the parents may be taking them to college and then leaving them behind. And I know from experience that's not an easy thing to do. And so be praying for those college students and their parents as well. Well, are you glad that you're here this morning? So this morning, if you've already looked in the bulletin, the title of the sermon is Correct Worship. And so I pray that as we begin to worship this morning, that we will worship with a correct heart. So let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to be here this morning. And Father, that's our prayer. Our prayer is that we will worship you correctly. Father, there's ways not to worship, and there are ways to worship. And we're going to talk about that when we come time for our message this morning. But in the meantime, Father, help each and every one of us to have the correct heart when it comes to worship. Father, may your Spirit give that to us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go, worship team.
Will you stand and join me for the first song? We're going to sing 10,000 Reasons.
Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing. His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, oh, worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name.
Sing Majesty.
Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory. Jesus. exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted. Exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign.
Worship you. We exalt you this morning. And as we come now before this time of giving our offering to you, Lord, we just pray that you would just take and use that and just bless our time together, Lord. In your name, amen. Our ushers will come forward and take this morning's offering. We're going to sing, "Oh, Worship the King."
Worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light and canopy's face. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder. measureless light, ineffable love, while angels delight to worship above. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. You alone are the matchless King, to you.
Amen. Aren't you glad we could join together this morning to worship the King? Amen. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 4. And sometimes we need to see things from a correct viewpoint. And I say that because as I was putting chapter 4's early verses into a sermon, I read a whole lot. I did a whole lot of research. And man, there's all kinds of different viewpoints out there about the narrative about Cain and Abel, starting with verse 1 all the way through the rest of the chapter. And it's just amazing what some of those viewpoints were. I don't have time to be able to go through all of those viewpoints, so I'm not going to bore you with that. But I think I honed it down with the Holy Spirit's help to the correct viewpoint. And sometimes we need to see things from a correct viewpoint. There was a family which enjoyed an annual vacation. However, at the start of each vacation, when they were only a few miles from home, Mom would wail, "Oh my goodness, I think I left the iron on." And every year they would turn around and go back, but not once was the iron ever plugged in. Mom was just dominated by the fear that her forgetfulness would cause all their earthly possessions to disappear in a fire. And this was a family occurrence for about 14 years. Then one year, the family was headed out of Chicago for Wisconsin. And sure enough, Mom gasped, "I just know I left the iron on." Her husband did not say a word. He just pulled over onto the shoulder of the road, got out, opened the trunk, and handed his wife the iron. Sometimes we just need the correct viewpoint, right? And yet I was thinking about that. Our chaotic world is also in desperate need of a correct viewpoint. Doubt and fear dominate the minds of many people. But the church can help. The church in their worship services can bring some order to all the chaos and show the world a better viewpoint. So that led me to another thought. What is worship all about? In the late 1990s, Matt Redman was leading the worship band at his home church in Watford, England, somewhere around London. They were creating new and influential songs which impacted contemporary worship around the world. Yet, Redman recalls, there was a dynamic missing. So the pastor did a brave thing. The pastor decided to get rid of the sound system and the band for a season. He told the church that they had lost their way in worship, and the way to get back to the heart would be to strip everything away. Initially, Matt remembers unplugging just led to an embarrassing silence. But eventually, the congregation rediscovered their own voices, singing unaccompanied, offering up heartfelt prayers, and encountering God in a fresh way. And when they were ready to reintroduce the musicians and the sound system, the church had found a new perspective on worship. that it's all about Jesus and that it demands a response from the heart. And Matt's song, The Heart of Worship, simply describes what took place. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus, because it's all about him. So this morning, how can you worship correctly so that you leave here refreshed? How can you worship correctly so that you leave here uplifted and encouraged? Because it is possible to come to church and to worship correctly. You might want to write that down. It is possible to come to church and worship correctly. In Genesis chapter 4, we see two brothers coming to worship. One went away blessed. The other went away depressed. One went away rejoicing. The other went away in a rage. Hopefully by now you've found Genesis chapter 4 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 5. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. What made the difference? Why did God accept one offering and not the other? Why did Abel go away blessed and Cain depressed? Well, for one thing, Abel came to worship humbly. Abel came with low spirits and a sense of who he really was. You see it in the type of offering he brought. It was a blood offering, an offering of part of his flock. When his parents sinned, God killed animals and shed their blood to cover their shame. Remember, we just went over that in Genesis chapter 3. So Abel, knowing that he is a sinner, sheds the blood of an animal to cover his sin. Abel came to worship with humility, while Cain came in pride. Cain came with a high and mighty spirit, without any sense of who he was before God. He did not bring a blood offering. He simply brought the fruit of the ground. Cain thought he was okay before God. He thought he didn't need to come and worship God's way. You see, Cain brought an offering of worship from convenience. Abel brought an offering of worship from obedience. Cain came to worship high and mighty, but he left low. Abel came to worship low and humble, but he left high. What about you? How did you come to worship this morning? If you came to worship correctly, there are certain ways to be able to do that. And for the next few moments, I want us to look at some of those ways. Here's the first one. Correct worship happens when we are humble before God. Correct worship happens when we are humble before God. When you come to worship with a sense of who you really are before God. When President Theodore Roosevelt entertained diplomatic guests at the White House, he often took them out to the back lawn at the end of the day. There, the president stood gazing at the night sky until everyone else cast their eyes heavenward, as his were. In his day, the city lights were not bright enough to dim the vast array of stars, and the magnificent display of God's brilliant creation would overcome Roosevelt and his guests. After a few moments, Mr. Roosevelt would say, "Gentlemen, I believe we are small enough now. Let's go get some rest." When you recognize how small you are before God, only then you are ready to correctly worship him. Because it's not about us. It's about him. And if we make it about us, it's not correct. If we make it about him, then it becomes correct. Do not be a proud saint. Jesus died on a cross to pay your debt of sin. Then he rose again as victor over sin and death. And eternal life is yours when you believe in him. And it is only by his grace. Nothing you do, no matter where you came from, no matter what you've tried to do in the past, no matter what some spiritual leader has told you to do, no matter what church and their guidelines have given you to be able to do, it is only by God's grace. Eternal life is yours when you believe and nothing else in him. Be humble. Be humble before God and worship correctly. Correct worship happens when we are sincere with God. This is the second way to be able to have correct worship. Correct worship happens when we are sincere with God. Come wholeheartedly, honoring God with the heart. This is the way Abel worshiped God. He went out of his way to give his absolute best. Verse 4, remember what it said? Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. Abel gave the fattest of the fat, the choicest of the choice. He gave his best to God. But Cain is content to just discharge a duty. Verse 3, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, it's obvious. Abel is a rancher. He has livestock. Cain is a farmer. He has fruits and vegetables. But could Cain have brought the acceptable offering to God? Yeah, he could. Could Cain have gone to his brother and said, listen, I know the way that God expects an offering to be brought to him. Can I trade you some fruits and vegetables for a livestock so that I can bring the proper offering to God so that I can worship God correctly? Could Cain have done that? Absolutely, he could have done that. Did he? No, because he wanted to bring an offering of convenience, not of obedience. Now, there's no record here that Cain brought his best. There's no indication that he really cared. He was just going through the motions of worship. The book of Jude speaks of men like this in verses 11 and 12. It says, woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Wow, what a description that is, right? These men went through the motions of religion and worship, but it has no meaning for them. They look good on the outside, but they are empty on the inside. They look alive, but they are twice dead. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to look at my life. I don't want God to look at my heart when it comes to worship and say, I'm twice dead. I would rather he say, you bring an acceptable offering to me with your worship. They bring their bodies to worship, but not their heart. Many years ago, a religious man spent several minutes every morning in his bedroom praying and reading the Bible. As he grew older, his prayers became longer and more intense, but he really cherished this quiet time in his bedroom. His cat liked it too. She would cozy up to him, purr loudly, and rub her furry body against him, and this interrupted the man's prayer time. So he put a collar around the cat's neck and tied her to the bedpost. This did not seem to upset the cat, and it meant the man could pray without interruption. Over the years, his daughter was impressed by her father's devotion. So when she started her own family, she decided to do what her father had done every morning. Dutifully, she tied her cat to the bedpost and then proceeded with her own devotions. She did not spend as much time in prayer as her father, but she found the practice meaningful. When her son grew up, he wanted to preserve some of the family traditions, which meant so much to his mother and grandfather. He did not have time to pray and read the Bible, but to carry on the religious tradition, every morning while he was dressing, he tied the family cat to the bedpost. Now, we laugh at that, but for many people, worship is like tying the family cat to the bedpost. It is only a religious tradition. They just go through the motions of worship. It has no meaning. They are simply performing a religious action. Hopefully, as you came to worship and as you come to worship, you're not just going through the motions, but you come to worship God correctly. Because correct worship happens through our belief in God. Come to worship with a belief that God will meet you here. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 is the New Testament commentary on Genesis chapter 4. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel came to worship God by faith. And he believed God, and Abel pleased God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. This is what Abel did, and that's what we must do if we want to please God with our worship. Believe that he exists. You see, folks, when we come to worship on Sunday mornings, or when you have your own private worship in your car, in your home, you're not worshiping a dead spiritual leader. You are worshiping a live Savior. And he deserves the best of our worship, not the leftovers, not our worship out of convenience, not because it's the thing to do. Oh, it's Sunday morning. I better get up. I better get dressed. I better get to church because it's the thing to do. If you're coming here because it's the thing to do, you are not worshiped correctly. You come here because you know God is here, because you know the reality that he exists, and you want your worship of him not to build you up, not to puff you up, but to honor him. Because you believe in him. We worship, not because it's something we do. We worship because of who we believe in. I hope you get that. Because my desire, just like God's desire, is for you to be able to come to the place to where you worship correctly. One Christmas Eve, the telephone rang in the pastor's office at the church that Franklin D. Roosevelt attended in Washington, D.C. Tell me, Reverend, the voice asked, are you holding a Christmas Eve service tonight? The pastor said, certainly. The caller asked, do you expect President Roosevelt to attend your church tonight? The pastor explained, that I can't promise. I'm not sure about the president's plans for the evening. But I can say that we fully expect God to be in our church tonight. And we feel secure in the knowledge that his attendance will attract a reasonably large congregation. You know, out of all of the guests that come to visit LHBC, we would be thrilled to have a world-famous celebrity here. But somebody greater than anyone with worldwide fame is here today. He is God himself. And that's why we come to worship. And that's why we come to worship correctly. What did you expect this morning? Did you come expecting to be bored? Or did you come expecting God to bless you? You see, correct worship reminds us to come and worship with correct expectations, because you get what you expect. You get what you expect. So let me leave you with some things this morning. Here's the first one. Do not settle for a little bit of God in your life. Whether it comes to your daily life or whether it comes to when you gather together with fellow believers for worship. Quit being comfortable and safe. Cain was comfortable. He was safe. Abel brought him the best of what he had, and the best of his heart. Let God have all of you. Cain wasn't willing to let God have all of him. Abel, on the other hand, came giving his all to God. And then have the correct heart for worship. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning as we evaluate our lives in light of this narrative from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, of how Cain came to worship and how Abel came to worship. And Father, sometimes it's so easy for us to just get into our worship as religious tradition. We just go through the motions. Before we come to worship, we just tie the cat to the bedpost because it's the thing that we think is expected. Father, Abel came in obedience. Help us to follow his example. Cain brought his offering in convenience. Father, help us not to be like that. Father, help us to quit being comfortable and safe. Father, when we come to worship you, whether it's in our own times of private worship or whether it's here as we worship corporately together, Father, may we give you our all. Father, may we sing even if it's off key. Father, may we praise you with all of our heart, not worrying about what people around us might think. But Father, worshiping you because your Spirit is leading us. And Father, sometimes your Spirit leads us out of our comfort zone and out of the safe zones that we've implanted into our worship. Father, let God have all of us. Father, we are here for you. We don't worship for ourselves. We worship you. Father, may we worship you totally, completely, with all that you have created us to be. And then, Father, give each and every one of us the correct heart for worship. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. Him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who had all things so wondrously reigned. Shelters me under his wings, he so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires have been granted in thank you.